We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lucas Giolito on the hill tonight. Lucas has had excellent stuff. Nobody is talking to him.
We are not going anywhere, and neither are you.
Adam Engel is there, two down.
And now, the only man to reach base tonight for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Eric Gonzalez.
Why don't you take this one, partner?
Nobody's here to watch.
Anybody that was watching that game tonight was giving us all the energy that we needed.
But everyone at home has their hearts in their throats.
Call your sons, call your daughters, all your friends.
Everybody up.
On 0-2 to right field, Adam Engel is there! A no-hitter! The 19th in White Sox history! History!
History!
He's mad by his teammates.
He was almost perfect tonight on the south side.
I've been really looking forward to pitching in the postseason. And I couldn't ask for a better squad to be doing it with.
For the first time in 12 years, the Sox are going to the playoffs.
It's time to go to work. This is what we're playing for.
Change up got him. Nasty from Giolito. Change up got Grossman. Olsen strikes out swinging.
Dominant. He was focused every pitch. I expected that out of him, the way he go about his business, and he threw a pretty good game.
Got him. 16 in a row retired. Lucas Giolito strikes out the side. He has been perfect. The White Sox with a very impressive overall performance, riding the pitching of Lucas Giolito.
The Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
What's up, Cody Decker? You don't like that intro?
No, I mean, I get it. He's Lucas Giolito. He's an all-star. He's a playoff player. He's the star of the Chicago White Sox. But that is a really long package.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's an ace. You got to build him up.
And yes, you can go and isolate me actually saying that that was a very long package.
Yeah, don't worry. We will do that. Lucas Giolito back on the score with his old pal Cody Decker by way of the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. And you could watch him on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. What's up, Lucas?
How's it going, guys?
It's Lucas. Going, man. Thank you for joining your old pal. Deck said that you guys go back to you when you were in eighth grade.
Farther than that, actually. I saw Cody in a short production of The Music Man when I was in elementary school. Cody was the lead at Samo High. I was at Franklin Elementary School, and the big boys over at Samo High came over and did a couple scenes from the show, and that was my first time ever seeing Cody.
How was
so
he?
Kind of goes way back.
How was I?
Fantastic.
Yes,
I didn't know
was!
What was going on, but you know, I just wanted to go outside and play tag.
Well, instead you had to sit there in a theater and watch me perform as Professor Harold Hill in The Music Man. And yeah, that I forgot about that. Your mom once actually told me that, and then she used it as an example. See, you can do other things than just baseball, Lucas.
Yep, and then I played French horn for 6 years.
Why'd you choose the French horn of all the instruments?
Because I was too late to the trumpet sign-up, so I had to get one of the instruments that no one else wanted to play.
It had to be an answer like that. No one's first choice is the French horn.
I had a lot of fun with it, though. I mean, it produces probably the most beautiful brass tone of any brass instrument. I'm a little biased, but...
You know, I agree... I agree with you. Being a big fan of the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds, that instrument is all over that album. You're welcome, everybody, for that piece of shinfo. Lucas, I got to know, man, that we just played a lot of that, of your no-hitter. And I think you and I have talked off the air about your no-hitter a little bit, but kind of kept it short. What did it feel like to you, just specifically two outs in the ninth? How did that feel, and what was that doing to you mentally?
The entire ninth inning was pretty much a blackout. The eight innings I threw leading up to that ninth inning was like kind of that peak performance state, very, very focused, very honed in on each and every pitch. But the entire ninth inning, the adrenaline completely took hold. I was just trying to get three outs as quickly as possible. And especially the last batter, the game plan that inning, without me knowing, that was all McCann, was we're going to throw a lot of sliders because, you know, coming to the third, fourth time through the lineup, they're probably going to try and start adjusting to the changeup because that's what we're using all night. Eric Gonzalez, I believe, was the last guy faced, their leadoff batter. And we get ahead with sliders, I believe 0-2, and then we go with the high fastball. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, throw this thing to the backstop. Like, if I miss 10 feet over his head, that's a good thing. This does not need to be anywhere near the strike zone. Maybe get a swing and miss. Maybe set up another slider in the dirt or change up or something like that. And I end up yanking the pitch right into the zone. Immediately, like, the feel of how the pitch came out wasn't great. And then I see his swing. I see hard contact going to the right side. And I'm like, oh, no, it's over. I just lost it with two outs.
I will admit this. All right, so I was watching the game. And I was watching the game with my dad. And right as the pitch was coming in, you could hear me audibly scream, no! And then the ball was hit. But right when it was caught in right field, my dad immediately bawled into tears like his own son just threw a no-hitter. And I'm like, what, where were those tears when your son did anything in baseball? Wow.
Oh, man. He's a gem.
He can't be. He can't be.
Yeah.
You mentioned James McCann. Great, really great catcher, but also kind of known to be a pretty lively clubhouse guy. What can you say about his impact on the team? And I know he's going to free agency, but what can you say his impact to the team? Was it insurmountable? Can you put a price on that, his impact on the team, and not to mention your season?
Huge. The impact he has, not just on this last season, but the one before, we share a very special connection. Obviously, throwing a no-hitter together, you know, being in the history books in that sense, that's something that we'll always have for the rest of our career together. But even more so, kind of the lead up to it, we both had very down years in 2018. Mine was like historically bad. His was just like a pretty down year for him considering the type of player he is. He gets non-tendered by the organization that drafted him, had him come up through their system. They pretty much had him tabbed as like the catcher of their future with the Detroit Tigers organization, end up non-tendering him. He signs the one-year deal with the White Sox. I was in a position just the year before, a couple years before, where I came up with the Nationals. I was tabbed as being like the pitcher of the future for the Nationals. Doesn't pan out. I get traded. And then 2019 was both, like, for both of us, kind of like that redemption arc of we're going to make adjustments. We're going to do what we need to do to kind of find that success and regain our footing in this league. And we did it together, which is really, really special. And it's only grown from there. So obviously 2019 was great. 2020, we were able to throw a no-hitter together. And then aside from just me, his impact on the team is unbelievable. We all call him the captain or captain. He is up front every single bus ride, running the mic, running the show. you know, team leader by example, vocally, you know, when it comes to everything, like all facets. I was elected as their player rep for the White Sox with the union, but James, as one of the alternates, did his part tremendously in kind of helping me kind of figure out how everything worked as my first year as a player rep. I mean, he would take that leadership role in every single area. And so I think that he was hugely important for our team, not just myself.
Are you worried about losing him in free agency?
I'm going to be honest. Like, I think that he's huge for our team. The impact he has, on the offensive side is great. On the defensive side is great. I obviously really love throwing to him. Doesn't mean that I can't throw to anyone else. I feel like if I have a nice spring training to be able to work with Yaz more, be able to work with Zach more, we're going to be able to find a great common ground that we can work from and have a nice season coming up next year. But I think that McCann just brings a lot of things to our team. And I'm like fully on board on the re-sign train, but obviously I'm not in the front office. So, you know, it's not my decision to make.
You know, Lucas, you've been around this team now for a couple of years, and you mentioned that year you had where you struggled, and you even mentioned it as being historic and how you bounced back that next year in 2019 in truly a historic way to put together such a monster season. You know, you win your first 10 games, you go to the All-Star game. What did you see in your team? What did you see in the White Sox, whether it was on the field or behind the scenes, that led to such growth from the previous 2019 season to the 2020 season? It wasn't that you guys were in any way, shape, or form bad in 19, but what put you over the hump to becoming a playoff team, battling it out for the number one slot in arguably the best division in the Major League Baseball?
I think it was the belief and confidence that grew inside of all of us. 2019, we weren't a winning team, but we had our moments. We had flashes. And we kind of hung on to those, and we continued to learn from the mistakes that we were also making. That coming into spring training in this past season, obviously with the additions that we had, it bolstered confidence. It increased our confidence in ourselves, in our talent, having some of the veteran presence, guys like Dallas Keuchel, Gio Gonzalez, Edwin and Encarnacion, having those additions, those guys immediately fitting in, looking around the clubhouse, and everyone's getting along, everyone's respecting each other. And then also kind of add in everything that we had been learning the last X number of years. I think that it was just a really good combination where our confidence was just growing and growing and growing. Like, we were having a fantastic spring training before it got shut down. Everybody was having a lot of fun. And that's the best kind of environment to get better in. And so, I don't know, we just had a really good feeling going in. We weren't really worried about anyone doubting us. We pretty much had a very clear focus on, okay, like, we're going to turn that page this year and we're going to win.
Lucas Giolito with us on the Danny Parkin Show with Cody Decker sitting in. We've been talking about it. It's a huge offseason story for your team, who the next manager is going to be. What type of manager is best for a very particular and distinct clubhouse? Like, you guys have character and personality and individualism. What type of manager do you feel like is best to manage your clubhouse?
That's tough. I mean, I really, really liked Ricky. You know, all the things that I just said in the previous question I answered, I think Ricky was a huge part of that in kind of injecting that confidence in us, teaching us the in and outs of the game. But you know, it's a business, things happen. I think that a manager that has a lot of experience, especially in the playoffs, managing, you know, managing a bullpen, managing starters, in-game decisions, whether that be bunts, hit and runs, all those kinds of things when the pressure is really turned up. Someone that has a lot of experience in those areas. As far as like the clubhouse is concerned, I think we have a fantastic clubhouse. I don't think that there really needs to be much work done there. So that's pretty much all I got for now.
Yeah. Well, we just had Game 6 of the World Series last night. You as competitor, current competitor, is there anything about that game that just fired you up, that made you go like, all right, our turn?
Yeah, I was really fired up when Blake Snell got pulled in the sixth inning. I thought that was a ludicrous move.
Yes, Lucas.
But I'm a starting pitcher that likes to go deep in games. Like, I that's the one thing about baseball that really sucks now, is you're not seeing as many guys throwing 200-plus innings as starters. I get it. I get the numbers. A lot of time the numbers show that third time through a lineup for a starting pitcher, it's not going to go as well. But, I mean, you guys, I'm sure you were all watching the game. Like, you saw the way Blake was throwing the ball. Like, that was his best stuff. And the confidence he was showing out there, the rhythm he was in. Like, I don't think that a base hit from the nine-hole guy was really going to throw him off, especially considering how he was handling the top three guys in that lineup. But I don't know. That's not exactly an unpopular opinion that I have. Yeah. I think that a lot of people share in that. So, it's unfortunate for the Rays, but I am very happy for Clayton Kershaw getting his ring, living legend in our league. So I don't know if I answered your question.
just as a current competitor, like, the White Sox, you guys are right on the cusp of being that team. Is this firing you up? Like, just, I know it just ended, but 2021 ain't that far away.
Yeah, that's I watched this postseason and this World Series a lot different than I used to. It used to be like I guess the analogy is like a kid at the candy store, but your mom's not gonna let you go in, so you have your like face on the glass like this, and you're like, damn, man, I want some of that. Now I watched it like, oh, those are a bunch of peers and we're gonna be there.
You got your own money to go into the candy store and buy whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was more like, I can't wait until we get the opportunity to do that. You know, we were pretty close this year. Unfortunately, that series didn't go our way. But, every single round of the playoffs as they progressed through, I was watching a lot more intently than I used to. And it was very exciting. And it just got me excited for what we're capable of.
Lucas, there's no wrong answer to this, but I'm just curious. Like, did you consider this past year for the team a successful one?
Absolutely. I think that we made a lot of good strides considering the weirdness of the season, 60-game schedule and how crazy travel was and all of that. I think that, getting a winning record, getting into the playoffs, that was definitely a positive. The one thing that I wish about our season that was different was that we finished stronger than we did. I think that after we clinched that playoff spot, unfortunately, we got into a couple funks in a couple different areas, and, we just didn't like cross the finish line the best way possible. So I think that was definitely a learning experience, So I think that there were a lot of positives in the sense of like playing much better baseball, getting into the playoffs, but there were also a lot of things that we didn't do well that we get to learn from now going into the next year. So all positive overall.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the Dodgers earlier today. Obviously, they just won the World Series, and they were incredibly fun for me to watch this year because they were just so dominant. The Rays were fun to watch because they were so kind of unique. But as far as just fun, there are only two teams that come to mind, and that is the San Diego Padres
and the Chicago White Sox. Just an absolute blast to watch play, because it seems like no matter how much fun I had watching, you guys had that much more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of fun, especially when we were on our winning streaks, when everything was meshing together. I think that with time and us playing together more and more, we're going to have longer amounts of time where things are meshing together like that. When we do fall into a little rut, maybe lose a series or lose a couple games, we're going to know we can go back to all the experience we've had over these last couple of years, draw from that, and know what we need to do to get back on that winning side and get back to having fun and doing what we do best. So, yeah, the overall vibe is fantastic. You know, what we have top down from the clubhouse, our players, I'm very much looking forward to next year.
What are you hoping for? I know you said earlier you're not in the front office, but I also know that Rick Hahn, like, he talks to you guys. Like, he talks to the leaders on the team. That's been out there, whether it would be you or Keuchel or other guys. Like, what are you hoping for in the offseason for the team?
That we make additions that are going to put us in a good position to win more and more and more. That's my conversations with Rick, very clear that everybody's on board for us to make championship pushes, year in and year out for as long as this window lasts. So that is a really good feeling, as being a player on the team, trying to win World Series rings, that, the front office is completely on board. We're all on the same page. That's all I can ask. You know, I'm not a GM. I don't know how to sign players, how any of that stuff works. So I'm going to let those guys do their job, and hopefully we can continue to make additions and moves that help the team out at the end of the day.
It's got to be pretty cool, though, to be at a point in your career where the GM is talking to you, like that you're in that group and you're like, hey, man, this guy's telling me that's I would imagine White Sox fans are listening to that and saying, oh, man. Rick Hahn's telling Lucas Giolito, like, we're going to make pushes for championships year in and year out. Like, that's not something that White Sox fans historically are used to hearing. So I think that that's, like, a really cool thing about the state of the franchise.
Yeah, you know, it's a testament to the front office for being, you know, transparent with kind of the direction we're going, what we're trying to do. I think it's all good stuff. At the end of the day, like, all we care about is winning. And so I think that we're all on the same page in doing whatever we have to do to achieve that. And, you know, when it comes to that, communication, honesty is definitely the best way to go about it. So that's what I like to hear.
I love that you have that relationship with your general manager. I mean, that just, honestly, it goes to show what kind of not just player you've become, but honestly, off the field person you've become. That's actually kind of a staggering thing. I've had many conversations with GMs, and not one went well. It usually led to me being fired.
Yeah, you know, it's a business. It's weird, but that's the one thing that I really love about the organization is we very much have a very cohesive, family-oriented environment where, you know, you can go in, you can talk about whatever you want. I've had conversations with you know, Rick and Jeremy and Kenny that aren't necessarily about baseball, about whatever else. It's not always business, so... I think that's a very good thing. So, you know, I'm, like I said before, just looking forward to whatever moves that we make this offseason, and I'm looking forward to getting back at it in spring training.
Hey, Lucas, what did you make, because we were talking earlier about like how weird it was to watch on TV what happened with Justin Turner after the game and the celebration. Like, you're someone who actually had to deal with those protocols. When you're watching it and you see that report and then you see him on the field, how are you experiencing that?
It was a bit confusing. You know, I saw like the reports of like when the tests were coming in kind of varied. And then I don't know if it got cleared up, but I don't know. It's hard for me to like comment on it without literally being there and knowing exactly how it went, because I went through that on a daily basis along with my teammates, the daily testing. Luckily we didn't have any positive tests on the team throughout the course of the year. We were one of the teams that were able to go through and have a nice clean season, which I guess is a testament to us, like, following protocols, I guess. It was weird. It kind of sucked to see. It kind of like detracted from the celebration, I guess. It's a tough, probably really tough spot for Justin Turner, like being told, hey, you need to go and sit in a room now. But, you know, you're having literally like the greatest thing of your life just happened. And you want to be able to celebrate that with your team. It's tough because at the end of the day, like, health and safety is number one. You got to respect that. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. For me, it's hard to like make a very concrete, like, this is how I feel about it. If I wasn't there, I don't know like exactly when and how the test came in. It's just like stuff I was reading on Twitter. So I don't know.
Well, there's never been any falsehoods on Twitter. So
not one time.
Once ever there was something false on Twitter. Well, Lucas, man, thank you so much for the time. You've been very generous with it. Earlier, you know, Dex said, he's like, yeah, you can't embarrass me. Can you try? Give me like a back in the day Cody Decker story here. This is the first time
I led with one.
Oh, that wasn't embarrassing. I crushed that performance. What are you talking about? There's nothing embarrassing about it. That's a heralded performance.
See? It's impossible. I met the guy 4 hours ago. We've done 4 hours of radio. What do you got for us?
Cody's usually on his best behavior. I'd say, I don't know. I don't want to get into specifics, but when me and Max arrived on the boat to his bachelor party, Cody came flying around the corner in a golf cart to pick us up. And that was pretty interesting, stuffing on a golf cart with like five people to go over to his house on Catalina Island for the bachelor party.
I will admit it was ill-advised to bring one cart, because I don't know if you know this about Max Fried, who he's referring to, and Lucas Giolito, but they are both not small people. So one golf cart just for the three of us, yeah, that doesn't work. So the golf cart did maybe tip over.
Yeah, we had a couple close calls, but it's all good.
Oh, man. That must have been a fun bachelor party.
Lucas, I don't remember.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe you. Lucas, do you remember the bachelor party?
I remember. Cody definitely doesn't. That's for sure.
That's how it should be. Lucas, thank you again, man. You're very generous with your time, and good luck this offseason, and hope to talk to you soon, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, brother.
That is Lucas Giolito.
He's the best.
Yeah,
he is absolutely the best. And I got to say, if you're a White Sox fan, you just got to be so ecstatic that you have someone on your team that is not just the caliber player that Lucas Giolito is, but I cannot stress this enough. He is just off the field the most humble, generous, and polite human being you will ever know. You would never believe. The only reason you know he's a baseball superstar is you come up to him. He's 6'6" and 250. But, you know, you speak to him, you would never know it.
Yeah, he's the goods. To have him fronting a rotation and a team and be a de facto spokesperson, I got a few of them on the White Sox, but a very, very easy guy to root for. I'd love to hear more bachelor party stories, but that's probably ill-advised, I would imagine.
You're under the impression that I'm embarrassed in any way? No, it was just we were on Catalina Island. People were putting drinks down my throat like I was a soldier in the Civil War and someone was coming to saw off a limb. Like, how much I drank then.
That's honestly, that sounds fairly on brand. It sounds like an amazing time. No, I didn't think you were embarrassed by that. I was looking for some sort of juicy nugget on something, and you guys got drunk at your bachelor party and fell off a golf cart. I mean, that's...
No, trust me, I'm pretty boring. Like, I could tell you that I golfed, and I remember I started hole one completely sober, and then I remember hole nine came around, and I was on the ground.
literally on the ground. I sunk like a 70-foot putt. And I was so charged up, and I think it was just because I had so much booze that was put in me in that short amount of time that I literally started to do a fist pump in excitement, and I passed out and fell down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, that's not bad. That is what you're supposed to be doing if you're playing golf. You're not going for your best score.
Like, no.
You're not lining up putts.
We played nine holes, Danny. I think I shot 100.
That's a way to do it. Cody Decker in for another half hour. It's the Danny.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Parker Show on the score.
Here comes the pitch. Swing and a drive into deep left center. That ball's headed for the wall. It is gone. It's gone. The Aces win. Cody Decker with a game-winning two-run home run. And the Aces have walked off Sacramento. 10-9 is the final. Decker jumps on top of home plate, and his teammates jump on him. What a game. What a finish. Cody Decker with a two-run home run to left center field, and the Aces win 10-9.
The real-life Crash Davis sitting in on the Danny Parkin Show today. That was his last minor league home run. Bet you take back your comments on Chris Tannehill's long open for Lucas Giolito now that he found that, don't you, Cody Decker?
Well, you know, I'm just saying it could have been longer. That's all I'm saying. It's not that it had to be longer, but I feel like you had maybe had a little bit more to work with Lucas. But, yes, that was a great moment. That was the great Ryan Radke up on that call. What's funny is Ryan knew I was retiring. My teammates knew that I was retiring. The Diamondbacks knew I was retiring. But no one in the field did. And Ryan actually kept his mouth kind of quiet that was my last at bat. And at the time, I didn't even think about it. I was just busy trying to win the game.
Very cool. I'm surprised that he didn't mention it.
I think he wanted me to let people know.
Sure.
I had a great relationship with him. I played my last two seasons in Reno, Nevada, which is AAA for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And it's a great city, and it's a great stadium, and really cool fans. And it was just, he kind of let me do it on my own terms, and it ended up being one hell of a call. I mean, Ryan Radke is just, he's an absolute pro when it comes to play-by-play.
So Tanny found that, which was cool, your last home run right before you retired. He also, and this was, I'd imagine, a little tougher to find, he found your only major league RBI.
It's actually easier to find than you think.
On a sac fly. Here it is.
And there's Decker with a high fly ball to right. Ethier with the grab. Tagging is Upton. He will score. It is 6-2. So Decker has not his first major league hit, but his first RBI.
Right fielder Travis Jankowski.
The base is empty now with two outs, and Jankowski the batter.
Dick Enberg with the call. Watch out for that Decker kid, guys. He knows how to fly out to right center.
Well done. Now, I got a question. I got an either-or for you. Like, would you have rather – I guess a would-you-rather question, not an either-or. It doesn't make any sense. Would you have rather had one hit or one RBI in the show?
I think it's a little more apropos of me to have one RBI because I was a power guy. I hit homers. I knocked in runs. That was my gig. My gig was not to get on first base. I one time had a game – and this is true. I was really always good for 25, 35 home runs every year, depending on what a bat I had, what amount of a bats I get. But I remember one time I tried to bunt, and I tried to lay down a drag bunt just to kind of get myself out of a funk I was in. I was like 0-for-11, and I remember after the game I got called into the office by our hitting coordinator that was there that day. And keep in mind, the ball went foul. I ended up walking. I got to hit my next at bat. And I'll never forget the hitting coordinator, a very old school guy named, I think, Gary Muser. I forgive me on the first name, but Muser had been around forever. But Muse looked at me and just said, "Deck, how much we pay you?" I'm like, you want me to actually answer that question? He's like, "Yes, I want you to tell me exactly what we pay you. In fact, you got paid today, didn't you? Go get your pay stub." So I went and grabbed my pay stub, and I showed it to him, and he reads it, and he's like, "Yeah, that's not a lot, but I got news for you. We don't pay you to bunt. Don't ever do it again, and tomorrow, $100 on my thing. Learn your lesson. Hit home runs."
Wow. Nice catch, Hayes. Don't ever bleep and do it again.
Yep, that's exactly what I got on that moment. But you know what? I don't know. I'm okay with Mike. Honestly, it's only for trolls to use. "Hey, you hit zero in the big leagues." Bro, I got to the big leagues. Good luck to you, man. Only 19,000 have ever done it, and I'm pretty proud of my career. I'm pretty lucky. I got to spend around 11 years doing something I truly love, played in front of a lot of great cities, and you know what? I can say I got there. My one regret is you heard Dick Enberg calling that game, San Diego announcer at the time. I played my one start at Dodger Stadium, which was cool for me being from Santa Monica, but I was most excited that Vin Scully was going to announce me.
Yeah.
Vin had a cold that weekend. Instead, I had Charlie Steiner call me Corey Decker three times.
Oh!
Yes, that happened.
Oh, my God.
All dreams crumbled in that moment, and I went 0-for-2.
Oh,
just
God.
Everything that could go. It was a comedy of errors. Plus, it was
Have
a 2000.
Have you met Vin and told him that before?
No! It's for the best that I don't, because you don't want your first experience with Vin Scully to be yelling at Vin Scully.
Yeah, but I mean, like, all you got to do is like, "Vin, can you just say my name to make it good?" He would love that story.
I'm telling you, I thought about like finding out where he lived and like making a film, like a very Steven Soderbergh-esque Ocean's 14 film of us breaking into his home and forcing him to announce me.
Yeah, that would have led to felony charges. But
yeah, but wouldn't it have been worth it? It would have been worth it. It's Vince Scully. I mean, Vince Scully always – I thought I'd have an at-bat, and Vince Scully would announce things about me that I didn't even know about me. I was expecting Al Decker at the plate. You know, he brushed his teeth for 28 seconds this morning with Colgate. Then he used something else. Not sure what it was. Might have been mouthwash. And he finished it back up with the Colgate. He has videos, cameras everywhere. That's how Vince Scully
works. And look who's coming up.
He knows everything. I thought it was really cool of Joe Buck. Now, I'm a broadcasting dork, but, like, I was cool of Joe Buck to work in Vin Scully right before the final call of the World Series last night.
You didn't think it was a little strange that he referred to him the greatest that ever did it, knowing the fact that his dad is Jack Buck?
I think his dad would have said the same thing.
No. Join me in this. Join me in this conspiracy theory of him throwing shade at Jack Buck.
Joe Buck really hates his father.
It was a contentious relationship.
He has a podcast. It's called Daddy Issues. Yeah, I think that's amazing. Well, I just assume that you want to end the show coming up by talking more about Con Air. So we'll do that with Cody Decker next on The Score.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance. You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory, and it's my pleasure to recognize your great play with the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award presented by Chevrolet.
It doesn't age well, Deck, I gotta say. It does not age well for Rob Manfred.
No, it doesn't. And hopefully, it just turns out that he was drunk. In which case, it's the most human thing that Rob Manfred's ever done. Outside of that, I still hate you, Rob Manfred.
What do you think his approval rating is among baseball players? Currently?
Oh, among players?
Yeah.
Zero. Zero.
Zero.
Zero. I have never met a single – I haven't met a single person that has said a nice thing about Rob Manfred yet. I remember one time there was a head of a sports journalism newspaper. He met Rob Manfred for the first time, and he walked away from the meeting. The first thing he said was, "That guy really hates baseball players."
The head of a sports journalism newspaper? Is that what you just said? What is that?
Basically just like something like The Athletic, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Was it The Athletic?
Maybe.
I think it might have been. I like your Twitter bio, by the way, where you burn it, you're a bridge burner.
Oh,
I like that.
Thank you.
That's a great character trait. Someone who's willing to say, I'm burning this bridge, and if I ever need to walk over it, I'll figure out another way around.
Hey, man, I'd rather sit here and tell you the absolute truth and then deal with the consequences as they come along because, hey, man, if nothing else, I got the truth on my side.
What is the most, like, uncomfortable bridge you've ever burned?
I've had some disagree. Like, I was known to be more of a clubhouse guy. Guys knew me. I tried to do my best to lead by example on occasions. I'm sure I faltered many times, but I tried to always kind of get teams together and have fun. But, I've had plenty of disagreements with players. There's been times where I've gotten into fights. I almost got into a fist fight with a manager I once had. We were not getting along. I went to his office. I asked him about a decision he made regarding me. I'm like, hey, you pulled me in the six. I'm just curious. What was the reason for double switching me out? Because I was legitimately interested. And then he took it very personally that I asked the question. And then finally, I just slowly closed the door. I'm like, do we have to fight? Do you want to fight right now? I'll fight with you right now. If that's what needs to be done, because this is not happening for one more second. If you raise your voice to me one more time. And we ended up sitting down and actually having a good conversation. So it led to some good things. That being said, I don't think he and I are going to be meeting up together in summer camp anytime soon.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I shut it down.
Don't want to say the manager's name. It's totally fine.
No. It's more that I can't remember his name.
Okay, got it. It was a minor league, like a guy who we wouldn't know as the audience.
No, you would know him, actually. We did not get along. What was his name?
Was it Tony La Russa? He's a hot button item.
No, it's not Tony
La
Russa. It's someone way, way more low-key. Spent time
with Roger Bozart.
No, he was also a quarterback, I think, at like Notre Dame or something.
Tommy Reese.
Where did Elway go?
Stanford.
Stanford? Okay, it wasn't Elway then. It'll come to me. It'll come
okay.
to me. It will. I promise it'll come to me.
All right, you said earlier you're going to tell me about a good, fun, bad movie because you don't think Con Air qualifies. What is Cody Decker's number one fun, bad movie?
Okay, number one good, bad movie, and it's only a movie that's determined bad. I mean, bad is very relative, but if you were going to go in that thing where it's a little campy and kind of digging in the fact of what it is, John Carpenter's They Live is a masterpiece of a bad film. It's amazing from start to finish. All the way down to Roddy Piper's amazing one-liners that he came up with on the spot.
Okay.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
That's perfection. Of cinema. You want to talk about better than Citizen Kane, Rowdy Roddy Piper and They Live is untouchable. I don't care if you're sitting here saying, oh, well, Daniel Day-Lewis has 3 Oscars. Give Rowdy Roddy Piper 3 Oscars right now for that.
Deck, this was a lot of fun, man. I genuinely enjoyed it. Thank you for doing it.
No, thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute blast.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you to Cody Decker. He also booked Lucas Giolito, who's on the show. John Morosi, Matt Spiegel also joined us. Shane Reardon in for Shep as our executive producer this week. Great to have Chris Tannehill back in the fold. My old buddy from Kansas City, Carrington Harrison, in the next 2 days. I believe Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. Stay tuned for Joe. My name is Danny Parkins. This is The Score.
Hey, have a great day, and thanks for playing some Wu-Tang. That made me feel good.
Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.